All right. I now call to order the meeting on the Committee on Budget and Finance of the Senate of the Associated Students of the 85th Session for Tuesday, September 5th, 2017 at 3 p.m. in the Joe Crowley Student Union, room 405. Agenda item number 2, roll call.
Senator Becker?
Absence unexcused.
Senator Besman?
Present.
Senator Flangus?
Present.
Senator Kirkendall?
Present.
Senator Maul?
Present.
Senator Martinez?
Present.
Senator Thummel?
Present.
And what is your name?
Senator Sarwar.
Sarwar.
I just signed myself.
Can you spell that? Spell that for me?
S-A-R-W-A-R.
Okay, cool. Quorum with Matt.
All right, I'm sending a text to Ryan to see if he's coming. Okay. Now moving into agenda item number 3, public comment. Is there any public comment to be heard at this time? As far as the presentation goes, we wanted to wait off until the very last public comment. That's cool. Okay. So any other public comment now that I shot that down? Okay. Now moving into agenda item number 4, minutes. Because the minutes are not here physically, we cannot approve the minutes that are on the agenda, so we'll move those to the next budget and finance meeting for next week. Moving into agenda item number 5, old business. There's no old business to be discussed at this time. Moving into agenda item number 6, new business. Subsection A, plan financial reviews. So if you look on the screen right now, we have a tentative schedule that I just came up with to bring to meetings. That way we don't have to, you know, start from scratch. So this is basically an outline of the meetings that we would be having with the dates and the accounts that we would be auditing. A little thing about financial reviews is they have to fill out a form that basically is an overview of their accounts. That way they have like a guideline of what to present to us. And this is also going off of last year's as well as the previous year's. So the 83rd and 84th sessions financial review schedule. So if it's worked for them, I think it could work for us. The thing about the schedule though is we have a couple weeks open. If you notice that there are some gaps, I believe between October 24th and November 7th, we will not be having financial reviews, which would be on the 31st. And the same can be said for November 28th, where there's a gap between 21st and the 5th of December. So if it's any, I don't know, if there's any grievances with the schedule, or if you want to change it, or you want to swap around some dates for the ones I just mentioned, because we do have some leeway, just make your case. Are there any questions? Any confusion? No. Okay, so yeah, I talked to Assistant Director Fang, and he said that he'd be good to go for BLF and Programming Board on September 26th. So obviously we're gonna have, in 2 weeks, the ASU and Senate and contingency accounts coming up. But the big ones to be looking for are on the 26th with BLF and Programming, as well as our own committee's audit. So just have, honestly, if you're looking at this, just try to plan some questions that you'll have for those committees. That's also important to come into the meeting with, because if they're gonna have their own, I don't know, guidelines of what to talk about, it's good to also have something to ask them. So a good question for BLF is, how successful was it compared to last year in terms of the revenue generated, as well as covering all the costs? So if there are there any questions? Okay. So we're not gonna move into any motions or anything like that. This is just to establish a working schedule. This is just to establish a working schedule, and since there's no discussion on it, I guess we're all in agreement that this is okay. All right, we don't have to do anything like that. Oh, question? Senator Flangus?
Sorry. Is there room for like amendment to any of these like dates, like after they start, or is this just like set in stone? This is what's going to happen every single week?
No, this is completely free to change. Okay. So if you find out that you're not able to meet the meeting, or if there's not going to be quorum for one of the meetings, or if one of the meetings gets canceled, we will have to switch it around. Please let the record show that Senator Becker, as well as Speaker Jackson, entered the room at 3:07. p.m. So, just to kind of update both of you, so this is the financial review schedule that I came up with. Basically, during this semester as well as next semester, we're going to have all the different accounts come in, and the head of those departments are going to, you know, state their case of what they've spent their money on. And this is what I've got going so far. There are some gaps where we could have additional meetings, or we could move some dates around, but do you see any problems with this? These are all on Tuesdays, by the way, at 3 p.m. All good? Cool.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to move on from this. Like I was mentioning to Senator Flangus, this is all free to change in case, you know, a meeting is canceled or anything comes up. So I guess we'll move into agenda item number 7, public comment. We have a presentation from Senator Flangus, Speaker Jackson, as well as Senator Martinez on, what was it again?
Citizen Committee on Democratic Engagement Conference.
Okay, that conference.
Okay.
Is there any way that we could hug?
Yeah, so we can just undo this cord.
Watch HD.
This summer, the 2017 Civic Learning and Democratic Engagement Conference in Maryland. It's basically a gathering of educators, students, administrators from all around the country, and to see their efforts on civic engagement within their university, as well as democratic engagement, whether it be in the classroom, in student government, or through the programs that they provide.
So one thing that you should probably know about CLDE, it's like a coalition of three different organizations. One is TDC, which stands for the Democracy Commitment. The other one is ADP, which is the American Democracy Project. And then the other one is NASPA, which is the organization that we're a part of as a university. All of these three organizations come together to put on this conference. So some of these organizations represent like community colleges. So we got a bunch of different perspectives from a bunch of different campuses by partnering with these three different organizations. So they just want to use like their shared knowledge so we can all make positive change on our campus when it comes to civic learning and democratic engagement. So we had like different speakers, we had different workshops that we went to. Sorry, I was just touching on some of these, and like roundtable discussions, which were really beneficial.
Yeah, as Speaker Jackson had stated, how it works is led by like an intern team of students, which is kind of what we resided under. So these are individuals from, again, different colleges, and kind of explained and had different workshops explaining how we can get civically engaged and democratically engaged here on our campus ourselves. In addition to that, we had a lot of keynote speakers talking about problems facing America, in addition to what's going on in our college campuses. And we had a lot of guest speakers, and over there, a lot of the interns that we interacted with from different schools. So these are individuals who attend universities around the country, and are also students around our age involved in their student government, involved in different organizations, charities, philanthropies, things along those lines.
They had this really cool thing at the conference. They had this artist like work throughout the whole thing. So every discussion that we had, all the different workshops, she made like an entire art piece that kind of went over everything that we learned. So Senators Flangus and Martinez included that, which I thought was pretty cool.
Okay, so again, this is just a listing of the different organizations, that way you know a little bit more about them. We're also a NASPA lead institution. I'm really sorry about the bouncing thing. If you click on it though, my computer shuts down, so just let it be. We're a NASPA lead institution, and that means that our institution is actually directly consulted in terms of like the future of like civic learning and service learning programs within universities. They serve with a group of other professionals from other schools to try to make initiatives and define what civic engagement is and should be for the future.
You guys would have been so proud. We went to this one workshop that Sandy led, And it was incredible because it was like she was a local celebrity and everyone wanted to like ask her questions about what we're doing on our campus. And it's just cool to see how the University of Nevada collaborates with all different people around the country in order to make these initiatives and things that we're doing here possible everywhere else.
Okay, I'll talk about the first speaker. So they actually brought different keynote speakers. The first one was Jane Kostin, and she talked about something that a lot of universities don't come in contact with is there's a large percentage of millennial conservatives. And in Nevada, we're actually a swing state, and I love it because it means that we have a very diverse campus. But a lot of times people don't know what millennial conservatives look like. And so she just talked about what their emerging persona is and that their perspective is like they're very widespread around the entire United States, and oftentimes they're forgotten. And how we have we as civic educators, as civic engagement like officials, ought to really like work to build their base as well, because sometimes they feel left out, and sometimes they aren't given their time of day when they are really trying to do just as much in the field of civic engagement as the rest of us.
Yeah, I can talk about Eric Liu. So Eric Liu is actually the author of this book, and we actually got to all have a copy of it so we could read it. But it's called You're More Powerful Than You Think, and then his speech was kind of based off of that. And he just talked about the ways that we have to reframe power as a society. So a lot of times we think of power as a bad thing, like something that's, you know, overarching, and then like people having centralized power is a bad thing, but we need to realize as citizens of, you know, the United States that we all have power within ourselves to, you know, enact change. So it's just a different way of thinking about it, which is really interesting, which hopefully through the things that we do this year we can implement.
Stephanie Reynolds, I'll probably ask Nicole Flanius and Speaker Jackson to talk a little bit more after, because they actually got to have an amazing conversation with Stephanie Reynolds. But she was Assistant Director for Knowledge Communities and CLDE Initiatives in NASPA. She was also a huge keynote speaker during the CLDE conference, constantly coming out and just talking about what it means to be civically engaged and how important it is for our youth to be civically engaged constantly. But definitely Speaker Jackson and Nicole Flanius had an amazing experience where they just ran into her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And then in terms of Martin Karkison, I don't know how to pronounce his name, he was amazing, and he talked about something that I think is really a great step forward within our community. A lot of people are passionate about their partisan beliefs, but he's talking about being passionately impartial, like being passionate about creating debates and creating a forum for people to voice their opinion. But your passion should come from trying to get them in the conversation, not trying to take the conversation one way. And so his push for all of us was to have passionate impartiality, to like be the ones who foster debate, not the ones who necessarily partake every time. And that's our like job as leaders within our institutions as well as administrators.
Yeah, I think I took a lot away from this because I thought about this a lot, especially when the Charlottesville stuff came up. Like, we want, also with Eric Liu's speech, like we want the people that this is affecting to have the power on how things turn out, if that makes sense. So like, I think all these people just had like, really like, at least for me, they helped me reframe how I think about everything. And like, I think moving forward, that's really beneficial for Senate. For all of us. If you guys want to pick one.
I'll go. But wait, do you want to go?
I'll do the public deliberation.
Yeah. I'll do the round table, because that was the one I went to.
Okay.
So we went to like a bunch of them every day. But I went to the one, it was a round table with, there's about 20 people at this round table, and we talked about campus reflections and lessons learned after the 2016 election, because it was kind of a turning moment for a lot of people. They didn't realize how to react to the election, how to empower themselves within the like democratic atmosphere. They didn't really know what to do from there. And so each of us talked about what we did on our campuses and how we not only got students to turn out to vote, but how we dealt with the repercussions and how students felt, whether they felt empowered, threatened, what have you. And so it was really amazing because we got to talk about some of the counseling services that we offered on our campus. Which was a really big moment, as well as the fact that we had the candidates come and speak on our campus. People were really impressed by the fact that like Nevada does more than just like gamble. And so they were really into the fact that we were doing all that. And that was like a big moment for us to talk about like how our entire campus reacted, not just individual professionals and teachers, but an entire campus reacting to an election. So it was a really big step forward, and I think we should offer those kind of programs after every election, because just this one was tumultuous doesn't mean that people don't feel that way after every election.
And then,
one?
Yeah, for a lot of the public deliberation, challenging conversations, that's just also kind of getting individuals engaged who feel uncomfortable in certain topics and talking with one another on things that we're usually not comfortable with, but really posing questions in different ways where it's not so much of a debate, but a dialogue. In addition to that, like for the LGBT inclusion part, I went to a lot of diversity workshops in a sense, and I realized like we're pretty ahead than most colleges here at the university. Talking about like LGBT issues, but at the same time, we're definitely not that far in advance as well, which is, I was gonna propose that I was working with the res halls during this presentation earlier in the school year, but now we're starting to kind of work with the residence halls and creating like a more LGBT inclusive floor, just because that's what I heard from a lot of other colleges around the country. So yeah, I really learned how to build a foundation with our college while staying connected to other colleges, and making sure that we have a proper model and bringing it to our university.
Yeah, another one I wish I got to go to, but I didn't get to go to this one, was getting informed and organized on federal and state higher education policy. And I would recommend anyone that's on public affairs, especially Senator Becker and Senator Sarwar, to talk to either President Texera or Director Schultz about this workshop, because they got to go to it and they said it was super informative, and that's a lot of like what you guys will deal with public affairs. So make sure you reach out to them and talk about it. I wish I could speak on it, but my favorite workshop that I went to actually isn't listed on here, but it was called The Crucible Moment, which if you didn't know, it's this huge like document piece of work that was published a few years ago, and it's basically like 2014, I believe. It's basically a national call to action for all of these institutions of higher learning to prioritize and focus on civic learning and democratic engagement, which I think was really cool just because it's like a huge strategic plan almost for like this year we want, you know, institutions of higher learning to look like this, and then after that, like what are the steps we need to make moving forward, which I think we need to look back at that document and see what we still need to accomplish. So it's a plan for us, but it's also a way for us to model what we do in the future. It shouldn't just be like, what do we want to accomplish this year? But it's like over years and over generations, what do we want our space to look like? What do we want our country to look like? What do we want our campus to look like? Again, it was just a different way of thinking about things. It's like a long-term planning process rather than we gotta get this done right now, if that makes sense.
Okay, this one was going to be Director Schultz to talk about. This is one of the coolest things we got to do is they split us all up amongst tables and they had people trained on how to create a deliberative discussion. So each table was confronted with three pretty, not turbulent,
controversial issues,
and we went through and talked about our personal experiences with them and how we think we should solve them. And so we had a bunch of different perspectives at our table, and basically what this was all about was like how to create a discussion which actually is productive and that also creates recommendations to give to officials at the end, whether that be university officials or local officials or national officials. So we did ones that were about law enforcement. And I don't know, like my experience was just like learning different perspectives was like very light. Like it was very much a discussion which I remembered, and like that's what we want to bring to our campus. I don't know about your guys' experience with it.
Yeah, we had people, like at least in my group, that were from a bunch of different demographics in different parts of the country too, where they have different experiences with these issues. And the fact that they got to share those like kind of made your opinion more informed, I guess. You're like, I know this person went through this thing, and like, I have my own experiences. Let's try to like find a way that we can understand each other and make it work. So it was like really productive, and I think at the end, like at least my table, we pretty much came to a consensus on what we thought was the best thing to do and the best solution for a problem. So it was just really cool to see how it worked. We also had a table facilitator that kind of helped us redirect and reframe our questions and like the way that we were speaking to each other to make it more productive, which I thought was really cool. And I would like to see like something like this brought to campus and have people participate in it. I just think it would bring like new understanding, and it would just be a way for us to be able to solve problems and to figure out new solutions. But if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I truly enjoyed it as well. The moderator was very good at his job.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really one to talk a lot, but he made sure that I felt included anyways and that I continued to say something and voice my opinion. So again, bringing this to campus, I also think would be really awesome and really training people to be moderators and to get every single person at the table engaged, making sure that we're receiving all opinions. Because again, you don't know where someone comes from just by their appearance. Because you'd be surprised. I was surprised at some of the responses towards the question that was posed and how individuals were affected by it from their past. So it's a great opportunity to have here at the university.
Just a side note, but I remember when me and Spencer were talking about outreach.
Yeah.
Sandy actually sent us like the document that was like summarizing this entire thing. And she said that she wanted to bring somebody to our campus to do trainings for people.
Yeah. The way it actually works is that like, so you basically, you get to pick like a whole, like you get a, everyone gets a packet with like demonstrated like how you learn type things. And so they have each of these, they have like videos that go through each of these and like what's going on with like this policy choice. Cause you go through and you find which one you think works the best. And so in the past they did one on Texas that was like a campus carry one. So like the idea was, it was like you came to the conference, you sat down and it had like, you know, 20 to 50 people trained as moderators, and all those tables had people from like 8 to 15 people, and they would talk about how they were affected by each of these, and then like what solution they would best like to see and why. And so like that was an example of like a college campus application, but they come out with new deliberative dialogue questions all the time, and so we could choose one for our campus, bring them here, and ultimately create a dialogue, and we could get trained to be part of it if we want to do that as ASUN officials.
Yeah, they have just like lists and lists of like different ones that they've already made, and like Nicole said, that they make new ones all the time. Like they have one on campus carry, they have ones on like different environmental issues too, which I think would be really important. So I think like whatever we decide what's a pressing issue for the student body, I think like racism and race issues would be one that like maybe if they have one that we could bring to campus and talk about, but whatever's pertinent to our campus, I think we could bring those topics here.
Okay, so then now we all have a slide on like what we took away from it, blah, 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 blah. So the Committee on Civic Engagement, I don't think you guys realize GivePulse is like very forward thinking. Lots of campuses are trying to invest in technology like GivePulse, but it's really expensive. And also a lot of campuses don't know how to interact with the entire student body, and GivePulse gives us that connection with our student body. Everyone can be civically engaged and everyone can keep track of what they do, which is amazing. At the end of your time here, you can see what you've done for your community. So I think we need to keep reinforcing how important GivePulse is. We spend money on it, and it is in fact like the best technology we can buy. That's what I learned from talking to all these people. So we need to really push it more. I mean, it's our job as a committee. This is in my committee, but I don't know why I'm so excited. So anyways, I want to talk about this later. The 100 hours of service at Northwestern University, they actually make all of their engineering freshman students do 100 hours of community service during their first semester at the university through one of their classes. But having people do 100 hours of community service isn't actually that much, and it's something that we should push for students to do. It should be a priority. Having a relationship with your community is really important, and I think 100 hours of service is a really good initiative as we move forward, so that's also something I'm going to be talking about with my committee. And civic literacy. A lot of people don't have any idea what civic engagement means, what civics means for that matter, what democratic engagement means. So I think part of our mission is to like reinforce what is civic engagement, what is engaging with your community, and teaching our student body about why we need it, why we need to talk about it, and why after you're done with either democratic engagement, civic engagement, volunteerism, what have you, reflection is part of that process. And I think we skip it, and sometimes it's not facilitated in the most effective way, but if we can just work a little bit more on reflection on our campus in a more fun and creative way, that's one of the initiatives as well I'm going to try to take forward. I think that will be a better way for students to understand what it is to be a citizen. So that's what I took away from this conference, really excited about it.
Oh, I think mine's on the next one, yeah. There we go.
Oh no, that's me. Michaela. Maybe it didn't copy and paste. That's right, you go. You know what you're talking about.
I was just going to work more with the interns, kind of what Senator Flings had stated, was teaching them what it means to be civically engaged in civic engagement. I feel like the interns should kind of have an understanding of that. In addition, I saw how important it is to discuss with one another and talk about important topics. So really teaching the interns to not only discuss within our department, but within other departments as well. I saw the importance for that, especially seeing Spencer Schultz there, Noah Texera, HR there who's from the executive branch, and then all of us who were there as well. And being able to collaborate and come up with these ideas together is so important. So reminding interns, if elected as senators or even moving forward, that communication with other departments here on campus is important. And then finally, it was going to be again towards the LGBT inclusiveness here on campus. I feel like that's a push. Even before what had happened in Charlottesville, that was very important, but even now it's dire. So being able to work with the campus, especially with the Director of Diversity and Inclusion, Precious Benjo, in this project, I think would be very important and is something moving forward I'm very excited to do.
Okay, well, the first thing I kind of want to talk about is, it was just so crazy. I think you guys would be so proud. Like, our campus is very advanced when it comes to these things. Like, I literally was sitting in one of the round tables and I go, oh, we have a Department of Legislative Affairs that advocates for students on the local, federal, and state level. And they were like, what? Like, it was like mind blowing to them. And they're like writing things down. They're like, can I have your phone number? Can I meet with you? Like, it was crazy. So all these things that we think are just normal and like part of our everyday life aren't there at other campuses. So I think that's something you all should be proud of. But the main takeaways that I have is just the importance of being a land-grant institution. One of those things, our responsibility as a land-grant institution is to educate the people of Nevada. That's why we have things like the Millennium Scholarship and our in-state tuition is so low. It's because, you know, we have a responsibility to the state, and because of that, I think that we have a responsibility to outreach to K-12 students too. So just thinking of more creative ways on how we can engage them in everything that we do. So I can talk about this later, but this campaign or this conference that we want to pull, you know, students in the school district and then have them be a part of that too. And then just make sure that we're always reaching out to them and making sure that those students are prepared to come here so they're more successful when they do. So 5-minute civics is like another idea that I have. We haven't really implemented yet, but during Senate, like, it should have some component of civic education, I think. So just learning the purpose of why we're doing what we're doing and what kind of is the background of, again, like why we do what we do. So I think it's important to understand like those core principles so we can be ethical and we can be productive and we can do everything with the best intentions. The Women in Leadership campaign, I think I've all talked to you about this, but we only had 7 women run for elected office last year at ASUN, which I think is crazy. And out of those 7 women who ran, 6 of them won. And it was actually the maximum amount of women that ran that could have won in that race won. So it's not so much a problem of women actually winning the office when they run for it, but it's just encouraging and recruiting women to run because sometimes I think they need that extra push because a lot of times there's insecurities running in our heads, I think. So Carissa, well, Chief of Staff Bradley and I are planning on bringing a conference on November 18th. It's called Running Start. So it's this organization in DC that comes to college campuses and trains, recruits, and kind of empowers women to run for elected office within their student government. So look forward to that. That'll be really cool. But that's kind of one of the ideas that I got from this, because we talked a lot about representation and how important it is that we get people involved. And I think government's like a perfect way to do that. So those are the main things that I'm working on after this conference. Oh, another thing, sorry. I've been working more on these things, but how I talked about the Crucible moment and how it has that big action plan, we've actually created a civic action committee, which composes of different leaders within ASUN, different leaders throughout the campus, like presidents of different student organizations, different staff and faculty around campus, the Office of Service Learning, as well as other community partners. And our goal at the end of, we do it like a couple times every semester, is to create a civic action plan for the university. So it's like the Crucible moment for the entire nation, but like our little one. So I'm really excited for that because we're gonna get a lot of diverse opinions and stakeholders in this to really try to make the most cohesive and productive plan for the future. So look out for that.
And then this is Spencer's. We kind of already touched on the deliberation and dialogue and like versus debate, like the kind of like what we're trying to do is the deliberative dialogue for like more so than rather than debate. Like there's a place for that, but this is supposed to be productive conversation. I haven't actually read all of his though. If anybody knows his takes on it, I don't know them very well. Oh,
I remember one of the things he's trying to do is really register people to vote. One of the things a lot of institutions do is they make voting available on campuses, and they have students trained as the people who run the voting booths. That was super illiterate. But yeah, so that's one of the initiatives he's working with, because I know a lot of universities were in fact voting locations this year, and that was a really great way to get students to come out and vote, as well as be part of the process of, like, you know, running the actual stations, so for the future they know what to do, or if they want to do it, they want to be part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. So yes.
Do you guys have any questions for us? Yes, Senator Kirkendall. Oh no, I'm not running this meeting.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Senator Sauer.
So the whole like gift pulse thing, you know, with, and how it's like forward thinking, is there any way to make like Greek life, like, because I know they have like a lot of like mandatory like volunteer hours, and I know it's not really like strictly enforced. Like, is there any way we could make like every person in that sorority or fraternity like do their hours through Greek pulse? Because that would probably.
I think that's the push that's currently
yes.
trying to happen. I know like the dorm and everything, that's like all like fraternity, like Greek life, it was all centralized through Give Pulse. So hopefully all of those will be, but I know that's something that people are talking about and trying to enforce.
Part of the push last year was trying to go into fraternities and sororities and teach them how to use GivePulse again, because you can create events on GivePulse. I know there's been some disconnect with how to create them as well as how to get them sanctioned by the Center for Student Engagement. So there's a bit of a push and pull there. So I think that's going to be part of our work on the Committee for Civic Engagement, is trying to like make it as easy as possible for people to use GivePulse, so that way they do use GivePulse. Because ultimately, you want to have as many hours and like as much community impact track as possible. So reaching out to these big organizations, which are already doing a lot, is part of that. We want to make it as big a connection as we can.
So. I was just waiting for you to call me, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm used to it.
Yeah, it's weird. Do you know how many years we've been doing this conference, or been going to this conference, just off the top of your head?
Well, I know that
four years.
I think 4 years ago, the Committee on Civic Engagement was created. Okay. And that was because they had like 3 students come to this conference. So I would say like 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So since this isn't like a new thing for us to go to,
yeah.
Do you feel that there's the possibility, or not even the possibility, but do you think that it would be necessary to have more student leaders go to this conference? Because I know it does take funding from ASUN, so obviously we have to be effective, but do you
yeah.
think that we would benefit from more representatives going, or if we're okay where we're at?
Well, I mean, I don't know how many different choices we have each session, but we try to really split it up. Like beforehand, we went and made sure we had like one person going to each one, so we can like consolidate all the information. I would love to bring as many people as possible, but it's really hard because we only have a certain amount of allocated funds within the Senate travel budget. So we tried to do as much as we could with that money, and that's why we were able to bring 3 people, but that was the maximum amount that we could bring at that time, unfortunately. But if we were to get like more funding, yes, of course, I think it would be beneficial. But I mean, hopefully too, I don't know, I'm sure there's other conferences that are beneficial for, I know like, there's an organization for all land grant institutions, and they have a conference every November. Like, I would love to send someone to that, but we have to work out the budget first before
yeah.
we figure that out. But
okay.
I also know we're always striving towards the Carnegie designation. It's something that a lot of these institutions are striving for, and like the process of applying for the Carnegie Institution is like a 2-year process. Like, to get that, you have to have people working on it all the time. They have to document very meticulously how many hours of community service people do, i.e. that's why we have GivePulse. But it also means you have to have a lot of service learning classes, which is something our university currently offers this semester. I just saw it. I think it's 20 service learning classes. And that's our biggest area needed for improvement. That's why we didn't get that's one of the reasons why we didn't get the Carnegie designation last time. So in terms of who would benefit from this conference, it's anybody looking towards creating and working with more service learning classes as well as like service learning opportunities for students, whether that be students or faculty. So like in terms of where our need is, that's something that we're not necessarily qualified to create. I can't create a service learning class, but that's a place where we need to grow, where this conference had a lot of speakers, but I'm not at, like, you know, I'm not in the ability to create that. So I think that's like in terms of where funding needs to go, like it needs to go towards service learning classes.
Any other questions? Oh, Senator Thummel.
Just out of curiosity, like Speaker Jackson mentioned how this comes out of the travel fund for the Senate account. Are there other conferences throughout the year that we go to, or is this like the main one? Does this take up the bulk of the travel?
This is like the main one. But the other thing that I was going to bring up to Senator Kirkendall's point was it also depends on where the conference is. Like the last one was in Indianapolis. This one was in Baltimore. So like those flights are more expensive, you know what I mean? But this next one's in Anaheim, so we'll have to work out the budget and everything, but like hopefully that means that we can send more people because it's closer. But don't quote me on that, but that's just something to think about. But over the time that I've been here, at least, this is pretty much the only conference that senators go to. I know there's a NASPA, like how we talk, this is like a branch of NASPA, is the Civic Learning Democratic Engagement, but there's NASPA, like the entire organization, they have a huge conference that's in March. The only problem is it usually runs around the time of election, so it's hard for students to go to that. But I mean, that's another conference that I know that people have gone to. So if you're ever like interested in anything, or if you've seen like a conference that you think would be really beneficial for you to go to, like let's talk about it and try to send you to it so that you can bring that information back to the Senate.
Any other questions? Senator Maul.
Going back to the fraternity and fraternity and sorority life with the polls, every president, this last retreat, I think it was back in, what was it, 2 years ago, I'm getting too old. Every president did sign up for it and everything. When I talked to Megan Pepper about it, I think it was like a month ago, they're making every single community service chair go through the training and become an admin on it. And that's going to be the only way FSL actually recognizes community service hours can be taken.
And I'll mention too that the Center for Student Engagement, and this is Chris Partridge's job if you've ever met him before, but he and Amy both, they train people on like how to use GivePulse and people that are administrators so they can put up those community service hours and opportunities. So I guess it's just like we have all the resources available, it's just coordinating with people to get them trained on that and to get them involved in it too. So yeah, they're really good people to talk about. Talk to about GivePulse. So is there anything else?
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you all for presenting.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I hope that you bring that information to the Senate meeting or just like touch on it a little bit, because I think that while it is, you know, good that you talked to us about it because, you know, we kind of funded it, but I think there's a lot of good information that can be pulled in different directions. Like you had mentioned in reference to, you know, this civic engagement committee, or honestly, like really any part of the university can benefit from it. But with that being said, I believe that leaves us with our final agenda item, which is agenda item 8, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting. Oh wait, actually, is there any other further public comment? Oh, Speaker Jackson.
Would you guys, I guess like this is a question if through the speaker to the body, I could ask if you guys would like a condensed version of, because we don't have any legislation on the agenda this week. Do you think that would be a good opportunity to kind of go over everything, or should we like make a condensed version? Like what's the consensus on that? Or what do you think are important points for us to talk to Senate as a whole about, I guess is my question.
Personally, I think that the biggest takeaway is, are those slides where you like actually mentioned what you took away from the trip, just so that way like the Senate can have an understanding of what they're, you know, supposed to be getting from this presentation. Although I think that the entire thing was really good. You can't really just jump right to what you took away from it without describing what exactly you did or where you went, you know, to what workshops. So I'd say, I guess keep it the same, but really emphasize the takeaways.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone else has an opinion on that. No?
Agreed.
All right. Speaker Jackson.
And we can update it and add, because I know I just added more things in there that I've worked on since, so.
there any other further public comment to be heard at this time? Senator Busman?
Is there anything, like, in the making or, like, being planned as far as the, like, bringing the mediators here to...
Speaker Jackson?
Through the speaker to Senator Busman. Not right now, but I mean, that's definitely something that we're interested in. If you want to partner with the Committee on Public Affairs or however you want to do that, if you coordinate with Director Rodriguez, I think that'd be an awesome idea.
Cool. Is there any further public comment at this time? All right. Seeing as there is none, we'll now move into agenda item 8 again. Adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 3:42 p.m.
Sorry.